Welcome back. Tonight, we're with the Kentucky Cowhands, recorded live from the Arts Place Performance Hall in Lexington, Kentucky. This is Red Barn Radio.
And all kinds of stuff, rockabilly, of course, but also old country. And there was so much, you know, way back in the day, guys like George Barnes or Jimmy Bryant, Speedy West, all these guys on the West Coast, a lot of them that were, and that's a big part of Western swing that doesn't really get its fair rap, I don't think. You know, back in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, there was a big divide and difference between what was country music and Western music. That's why the name country and Western, you know, penned by Ernest Tubb, eventually became more of a common term because it was record companies were like, man, how do we categorize all this stuff, you know, and so much of it. But really, the Western swing guys were jazz musicians. You know, they could keep up with, you know, if Benny Goodman hired them that day, they could fit in no problem. You know, they were jazz guys. Even the Twin Fiddles, you know, they shared a lot of country attributes and some country tunes and things of that nature, but they consider themselves jazz musicians out there. With World War II, this big migration of, you know, folks coming from the Midwest and East to work in factories out on the West Coast, there was this time post-World War where all this sort of meshed together eventually. Country artists were coming out to the West Coast and being backed by Western swing bands. And, you know, a good example of that, like Hank Thompson. He was a solo country artist with him and his guitar, but he was backed by this big Western swing band. I learned a little of both, and I've always appreciated jazz. You know, again, going with the guitar playing and playing lots of different instruments, right, on my guitar, I also do the same with styles. I guess I have musical ADD of some kind. You know, I'm like, I want to hear the fiddle now. Now I want to hear steel guitar. And now I want to hear a rockabilly guitar solo lick. And now I want to hear this smooth jazz lick. And just mesh it all together for better or for worse.
And this idiom sort of allows for that.
Exactly, yeah.
Cool.
It definitely allows it, not only within a set list with different types of songs, but also, again, in the playing itself. At any given moment, I can do whatever I want, and it just goes.
Nice.
It
does.
Woke up this morning, looked at my door. I can tell my milk cow, I can tell by the way she lows. If you see my milk cow, please tell her hurry on home. I ain't had no milk and butter since my cow's been gone. Well, you've got to treat me right day by day. Get out your little prayer book, get down on to get along with you. Now I'm gonna tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna stop trying, gonna leave you alone. If you don't think I'm leaving, you can count the days I'm gone. You're gonna need my help someday. Oh, you're gonna be sorry you treat me this way. Milk Cow Blues, that's right.
Andy reminded me of this when we first talked that you had been nominated for an Ameripolitan Award. What is an Ameripolitan Award? Sounds really interesting. And I also see that you are in great company with people like Pokey Lafarge, Big Sandy from the Fly Right Boys, and also, last but not least, Ray Benson of Asleep at the Wheel. So, I mean, that's amazing company. And what a really cool idea, and what a kind of a mission that the Ameripolitan Awards has.
So it's really fronted by, you know, an amazing artist in his own right, Dale Watson. He's based out of Texas for a long time. Yep. He's kind of back between Texas and Memphis. The Ameripolitan Awards has been around for quite a few years now, and it really showcases and features all kinds of alternative country music that doesn't really fit into the CMAs. You know, that's not
right.
Mainstream country. It's rockabilly, western swing, honky-tonk, you know, you name it. And it's there's, you know, categories for that and plenty of artists. And so many big names have, you know, been nominated and won throughout the years. This past year, February, it was my third nomination. So I'm working at it. But it's a good time, and good to see so many people who I normally don't get to see because everyone's on the road all the time. And Big Sandy, Deke Dickerson, you know, obviously Dale Watson, Reverend Horton Heat, so many big names that come through there. And, of course, Asleep at the Wheel. I actually got a chance to play a couple songs and jam with Katie Shore on fiddle. That was really nice. That was
cool.
That was a fun time. So it's a blast down there. They do it every year in February.
Listeners, check that out. It's pretty amazing. And,
oh, yeah.
And it's nice to an organization standing by country music, the uncompromised version of it, you know, which is just awesome. Can you tell folks about where you come from and how you got there?
I've played in a lot of bands, and as a bass player, it's no stranger to be with a lot of people all the time. You know, there's so few true blue bass players out there.
Andrew Tyler Brown.
I grew up in Berea, Kentucky, south of Lexington. I call this area home still. I've never really left. I travel so much that I've never really felt the need to leave.
And so how come somebody is in Berea other than to be associated with either the craft industry of Berea or the college?
I went to the college.
Okay.
My sister's one of the craftspeople in Berea.
Oh, okay.
So, I grew up actually in the hotel that the college owns, Boone Tavern. My mom was a manager there. So for 5 or 6 years, I'd spend every day there after school or on weekends. And I was a nuisance. I had full reign of the building. I would go into the kitchen. I'd steal desserts for people that paid. And I had a full grand time. But yeah, I went to Berea for a few years. I believe it was 2011 and 2015. And I got an English degree from Berea. It was a great time. I played in the ensembles there. And I started a folk roots ensemble while I was there too. So when I got there, the bluegrass band was full. And I'm stubborn. And I don't like being told no. I got a faculty sponsor, and I started a new class that I believe is still going on there, actually. So I could still play folk music for college credit and win in my own way.
Of a jukebox tune. I like to get on this stage and play for all my friends. Drinking and dancing to me and my pals, the good old Kentucky cowhands. Sitting outside just shooting the breeze on a warm summer night with a cool autumn breeze. Been working all day, time for some fun. Kick back the chair and pull up a rug. Some fun. I know a few quiet places in town for parking. If we're feeling just right, then maybe we can do some sparking. Then I'll drive you home in my old beat-up car. Just me and you underneath the moon and the stars. Maybe we'll see you UFO fly across the sky down in Louisville, Kentucky on a Saturday night.
When did you end up picking up the bass?
When I was 19. I'm 26 right now, mm-hmm. As I'm aware of. And when I started that ensemble, I played guitar and sang lead for it. And my bass player quit, like so many bass player stories. And I picked up upright my sophomore year of Berea.
And why do bass players quit so much?
Because they know that they can do what they want. That's really it. There's so few. Their reputation hardly gets tarnished. Uh-huh. They're like, oh, man, we need the guy. But he's got so many issues. Nah, man, we need a bass player.
Is it your goal at this point in your musical life to settle into one or two ensembles and take that as far as it can go?
I think when you get out of college, because I went to Morehead State after Berea for their music program, as soon as I got out, I just wanted to work. I didn't really care what I was doing. So I played with a lot of really popular regional artists and national touring acts, and that was fun. I learned a lot, and I learned what to do, what not to do, what I liked, what I didn't like, situations that I don't want to be in again, and situations that I would kill to be in every day, mm-hmm. And met Kyle, and we were thinking, oh, we really want to put our heads to the grind on this one. Felt very confident in that we could pull it off. And we've done very well, I would say. Last year was our first year as a band. I mean, we played, I would say, maybe 70 shows our first year, something like that, on top of all the work that I was still doing because I had all these big obligations from before we started that were on paper. It was an insane year of playing. It was amazing.
Well, it's funny. You think about what's going on right now in our world and read a lot about the restaurant business, and there were so many restaurants, were just picking up momentum and then bam, this thing hits. You guys are sort of like that, right? You were picking up momentum and then this hit, and you didn't have opportunities to get out and play, much less practice.
And we've really taken it to the internet. You know, we've been doing a lot more social media engagement. We've put off we have some recordings in the can that we've rethought about and have changed what we're going to do with them that we haven't really fully thought out yet, but we're on the path to doing that, finding a better team overall, whether it be booking or management or any of that kind of stuff. We have now the breathing room to do what we need to do without being like, we got to keep working, you know, No one really talks about the fact that musicians work so much all the time, so their brains don't rest really well. I think that's a part of the frazzled stereotype that you could see in musicians. Some people translate it as like lazy or just being an artist. I think people just work so much that they get silly. Uh-huh. So, you know, and I feel really good about that. Like, our social media has gone up tremendously. Like, I would say in the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks or so, we've gotten 1,200 new followers on Instagram. And that's just from us working on that. And we're still doing some live stream with festivals and stuff. We're just like, if we can win the internet this year, we won. That's what we're winning.
It's Mississippi. California. There's lowlands and then there's highs. There are prairies, there are oceans, and there's me and I. You'll speak slowly and I'll sing softly. We lay between the covers and our bed. Don't you listen, mind, be satisfied. That's for me and I. Me and I.
Wonderful to hear that pared down sound. I'm going to ask you the same question that I was asking Kyle. You know, it's like you feel sometimes you got a snare, a hi-hat, and a kick. Do you feel like a lot's on your shoulder sometimes?
No. I just try to be as relaxed as possible and just kind of feel what they're doing, how they're working together. And then I just try to weasel in the middle, lock them together as best as I can on the fly. Because most of the things I do, I don't play the song the same time twice, usually.
R.C. Hampton.
I mean, I grew up playing punk music, and I pretty much ended up with this kind of setup. I had a floor tom at time. You know, I'd take and leave pieces here and there, and I had a lot more cymbals when I did that kind of thing. But I'm much more comfortable just doing this. What my, like, progression, degression, whatever you want to call it, with music is... Went from punk to blues. I was living in New Orleans and playing primarily on the street, busking. And then I ended up eventually moving here from New Orleans, getting more into old time. Everything is just kind of like, I went from punk drums to washboard to now pretty much this. Really, that's the progression or degression of the setup.
I would call it a progression.
Yeah,
I like it. You know, when it comes to rock music, does a Billy always have to be added to the rock that you play?
No. This is my first experience being a part of this style. It shares a lot of technique and sound, but with a lot of other things I've been involved with. But, this is much more... it's just different. It's just different than anything else that I've done. It got a little bit more Billy on it, but...
Yeah. would like to thank the Kentucky Cowhands for being with us this evening. We thank all of you for listening and watching. We also thank our volunteers and staff for their help in making our production happen each and every week. We give a very special thanks to Nick Lazaroff for his production photography. Thank you all for listening to our webcast, watching us on Facebook and YouTube Live, and those listening to us on the Red Barn Network of Stations. Thanks to WEKU, Red Barn Radio's official radio partner, NPR, for Central and Eastern Kentucky. Listen online at weku.org. It's your chance to hear more great live Kentucky music from Red Barn Radio and WEKU. Red Barn Radio, roots music, southern style. Red Barn Radio comes to you from our home, the Arts Place Performance Hall in downtown Lexington, Kentucky. Our website has updates and further information on our guests and our program. We're on the web at redbarnradio.com. Hey, folks, once again, give it up for the Kentucky Cowhands here on the Red Barn stage.
Red Barn Radio would like to thank the Kentucky Cowhands, Kyle, Andy, and RC for being with us tonight. Thanks to WEKU, Red Barn Radio's official radio partner, NPR for Central and Eastern Kentucky. Listen online at weku.org. Thanks also to Chef Greg Scott and Broussard's Delta Kitchen, featuring authentic flavors of New Orleans and the Mississippi Delta on Main Street in historic Georgetown, Kentucky. Broussard's is on Facebook. AccuPrint, providing printing, design, and fulfillment online at AccuPrint.us. Support for Red Barn Radio also comes from LexArts, Lexington, Kentucky's Arts Council, creating a great American city inspired by the arts. And Visit Lex, Lexington, Kentucky's Convention and Visitors Bureau. More information on what Lexington has to offer is at visitlex.com. Red Barn Radio's executive producer is Ed Commons, who also directs our show. The music for this episode was mixed by Adam Schettinger. The Red Barn Radio playout theme, Wookie Foot, was taken from a live performance of The Wooks here on Red Barn Radio. WookOutAmerica.com. You can attend a Red Barn Radio concert in person. Performance times and dates are at redbarnradio.com. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be here on this station next week at the same time as we celebrate the music and artists of this Kentucky region. I'm the voice of Red Barn Radio, Tom Brown. Red Barn Radio is a production of Red Barn Radio, LLC.